And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all, it's Alabama. And I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Which, by the way, is got a little change coming up after the first of the year. So next week, two things. One is, if you are a 101.1 listener out of Birmingham on live radio, just know this. We went through contract renegotiation with them, decided that the best bet for us was to go ahead and part ways with them. And so we are coming off of 101.1 in Birmingham effective next week. However, a week after that, we go live in Chattanooga. So just know this, we're still going to be very much live every single day. You can get us on our multiple live radio affiliate stations, but also anybody can watch us live online. And right now, the weather is playing havoc with our internet, but nonetheless, we are streaming live. I'm watching me. Go to rightsidemedia.org. That's our website. Go to YouTube. We are streaming live audio and video every day. It's a hoot too, man. Just you can see when we have folks in the studio like we'll have in about an hour, the ladies here from Saving Title IX, you'll be able to see everybody in studio, and I encourage you, check it out on YouTube. And if you go to YouTube and you go to Right Side Media, that's the company, not Right Side Radio, look for Right Side Media. And when you get there, if you haven't already done it, click subscribe, because that helps us grow as a company. But yes, live broadcast every day. Straight. I tell my wife listens to it right now. Just pulls it up on her phone every day and listens to it. So, yep, that's changing. Chattanooga coming, rolling off in Birmingham. We'll have more announcements in the near future. Just stand by for it. All right, listen, we're going to jump on this topic. I got a couple of text messages. Let me grab those real quick. Ken from Rimlap sends me a headline off a story. He says, Sacramento, California, effort to crack down on the invasive influence of American culture. The state of California announced that it will okay, it's a Babylon Bee. Yeah, I get you. John C. from Madison says, didn't China take control of the canal after we gave it back to Panama? Yes and no. There's what I would call a great deal of Chinese influence. So there are operations at the canal area, the canal zone, that China does operate. China also is operating multiple ports that service the canal. And then at the same time, there's by some records, up to 130,000 Chinese nationals that have moved to Panama for the sole purpose of being there for influence. It's part of their Belt and Road Initiative, and I'll get back to that here in a little while. But yes, China is very influential in Panama, and that is a part of what really has got President Trump stirred up. Are they in control of it? Not technically. There's a thing called the Panama Canal Authority, the PCA. And the Panama Canal Authority is a quasi-governmental entity that is supposed to be the one in charge. It's gotten onerous. But let's talk about several things. So first of all, so Trump sends out a tweet, and he starts off with Panama. He says, "Merry Christmas to all, including the wonderful soldiers of China who are lovingly but illegally operating the Panama Canal." And then he goes on to say, you know, that 38,000 people died, he said, during the waterway's construction, and that the U.S. put billions of dollars in repair money into it annually, and we have absolutely nothing to say about it. And then, so basically what he was doing was throwing down the gauntlet on, hey, you know, Panama, just so you know, we feel like we have a pretty vested interest here. And so I'm reading an article from Rolling Stone. Phil, did you go to Rolling Stone? I did. Libs are freaking out, man. You can watch it on CNN. They're like, Trump's territorial. He's trying to go out and annex territories. He's not. It's not going to happen. We're not going to try and go down there and seize Panama. We're not going to go annex Canada or Greenland for that matter. But he did. So his tweet, which has gotten so much attention, expanded from there. It went from Panama, hey, Panama, and all you Chinese down there in Panama, Panama Canal. Then he said, he keeps calling Trudeau the governor of Canada. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Calling Trudeau the governor of Canada, floating the idea of Canada becoming our 51st state, promising that the taxes would be cut by more than 60% if they did, and they'd be militarily protected like nobody else in the world. So people are like sitting up going, what is Trump doing? Is he going to try and take over Canada? No. And then he goes to Greenland. Now, Greenland's interesting. Greenland is actually a territory of Denmark, which a lot of people don't realize. But the prime minister says, Greenland is ours. We will not be for sale. But Trump did float the idea of coming into Greenland. And he says, we need that territory for our own buffer protection. And, oh, by the way, we provide national security to you. So, hey. So what's going on with all this? What is this? Why is he doing this? So, first of all, for the libs whose heads are exploding, how dare he? He's putting things on an uneven keel. He's threatening to take over a foreign nation. No, he's not. Please. No one believes that we're going to launch a military operation to go seize Canada. No one believes we're going to just, like, you know, dive on in feet first to basically do a hostile takeover of Greenland. Now, here's some things. Canada immediately began making some changes on their border when Trump started poking. And that's what he does. The art of the deal, right? Trump looks for the weakness. He looks for the things that are telling, if you will. He looks for the things that make people squirm, and he pokes at them. And it gives him a leg up in discussions. It's something that he can back off of and try to laugh with, but it also makes them uncomfortable. And so they're on their heels in the conversations. So Trump has already told Canada, you need to stop with the whole, you know, letting everything across your northern border. It's our sovereignty that's being affected. So stop it now. And oh, by the way, I'll put tariffs on you if you don't. By the way, how would you like to be the 51st state? And all it does is seed the conversation and keep us basically living rent-free in their heads. And that's what he's doing. He's living rent-free in Justin Trudeau's head right now. The same is true of Greenland. We're not going to go send the 82nd Airborne in to parachute in and seize Greenland. Now, I will say this. If Denmark came back and said, yeah, you want to buy it? I guarantee you there'd be a discussion. That'd be massive. That'd be huge. But doubtful. Here's what I do believe could happen. The first thing that happened when Trump did this is it just by coincidence, I suppose, the Danish government announced a huge boost in their defense spending right after he did that for Greenland. Oh, really? Yes. Do not be a bit surprised also to find that somewhere in the next year or two, a negotiated opportunity for forward basing in Greenland by U.S. military is available. Why? Look at the map. It gives us access to the polar regions. It gives us quicker access or a way station, if you would, en route to Europe. It's a North Atlantic stronghold. It's got massive territory. It's got great training sites. So do you need naval, air, or for that matter, even land operations? Maybe it would be a forward basing, a staging area, a presence projection, if you will. Could be. And then there's Panama. And this is the one that is the most serious. I mean, let's not forget, we've already invaded Panama once. We did. Remember that? Manuel Noriega. Manuel Noriega thought he could rattle and bang his sword on a podium and threaten U.S. interests and threaten the U.S. Interests in the canal zone, for that matter. And next thing you know, he had a Ranger Regiment and the 82nd Airborne, and he had you know, the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment and Delta coming into his back door. I mean, he basically had the weight of the U.S. military suddenly canvassed upon him in Operation Just Cause. And we hauled Manuel Noriega out of his bed in his pajamas and took him back to the United States and put him in prison. And then restored the Panama Canal's, you know, ability to operate. So would we do it again? Well, I think what Trump is doing here is saying, we are not going to stand idly by and watch a hostile nation, China, gain its Belt and Road influence to the extent that they can then dictate to us whether our shipping comes and goes. We are not going to sit idly by and let Panama charge U.S. ships massive amounts of money just to negotiate passage through a canal that we built and that we just turned over to them in the last 30 years. Oh, 20 years. 20, was it 25 years? 1999. What am I looking at here? Yeah. Wow. 25 years. So we just, so Jimmy Carter gave it away, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But the truth of the matter is, we built it. In fact, if you really want to get down to it, and what some would consider to be a dicey amount of foreign policy, Panama became a sovereign nation because of the United States. We wanted to build a canal. We couldn't get agreement with, you know, their predecessor. We managed to get Panamanian influence built up to the point that they could then separate and become the nation of Panama as we know them today. And now they have a controlling site that the world requires to maintain its operability. Are we going to sit idly by and let that be taken away? Frankly, no. You know what it would do to the United States economy? Let's think about this. If 40% of the world's maritime commerce goes through the Panama Canal, and of that, two-thirds is the United States coming and going, what does that mean to our economy if it shuts down? You're not going to just blithely sail down around, you know, the horn and come up around South America. You know what that does to a trip cost-wise? You know what it does to a trip in terms of risk? It's just not a good solution. The Panama Canal changed the lay of the land, or the water for that matter. This is of a vital national interest. So do I think that Trump would send the 82nd Airborne back again to take it? Not tomorrow. Do I think that if China tried to bow up and say, we shall take control of this, it is now ours, I'm pretty sure that the 18th Airborne Corps would be down there. You would have a massive, massive situation of vital national interest in our backyard, in our hemisphere, in our very backyard. So do I think that we're going down there? Not anytime soon. But do I think it's possible? If it's threatened, I do, because it is absolutely a massive piece of our economic engine. It is a part of what makes us successful. Our imports and exports rely on it. And the idea that we're going to divert everything to California ports or to East Coast ports and still make our economy function the way it has been, no. The world relies on it. The United States relies on it. It's a big, big deal. We'll take a break right now. I'll come right back, and I'll try to give you some more about why it's a big deal and just opine for a little while about what is Trump up to? Is he okay, what's he leveraging here? Who's he really talking to when he makes these threats about Panama? You'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Got a text from Robert from Athens. He says, Dear Colonel Phil, back in 1991, when Quebec was voting to separate from English-speaking Canada, a minority in Alberta threatened to separate and join the United States. Wow. I'd not heard that. He said, from conversations I've had online, there are still some Albertans who have not given up that idea.
Well, who's
that? That's awesome.
Who's the Shark Tank guy, the Canadian? Gosh.
He was all over it. I saw that.
O'Leary is his last name. Yeah. He said that he's going down to Mar-a-Lago to talk Trump into doing it. He claimed he's being dead serious. He said that he thinks over 50% of Canadians. So,
you know what's crazy? And so, like, if you've been to Detroit, the bridge is right there. I mean, the port of entry into Canada, and it's always lines, you know, waiting to come and go. But I have heard too that a lot of Canadians, because they're so sick of their own, you know, socialized healthcare, they have Blue Cross cards and they come get their medicine in the United States.
But yet we hear so many liberals in America claiming how Canada's a better place to live.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt. That would be a hoot. Mike from Coxie texted in. He said, I got a chance to visit Fort Clayton down in Panama back in the early 90s. It was an absolutely beautiful place. I know I did not get bit by a mosquito. So, yeah, I was down there myself in 99 when we were closing out. In fact, I went down there as a group with the 20th Special Forces Group, and we were setting up what was known as a jump talk. I think I said this yesterday. Basically, 7th Special Forces Group was relocating its headquarters out of Panama and over to Florida. And so we had to set up a jump talk for them so that we kept a command element open while they were en route. And but it was beautiful. I spent several weeks down there. And the interesting thing is there were multiple posts along the canal zone area, Fort Clayton being one, which is one of the major ones. But there was another one called Corozal, and I think they had a Corozal West and Corozal. And my grandfather was a post commander at Corozal, like in the 50s, I believe. So it's been a major hub for military activity. We used to have the U.S. school down there out of Panama. Just very cool. Bruce Ken says the problem with the canal is the second worst president gave it away. Yeah, absolutely. So about that. So Trump, piece here on Town Hall, talks about the fact that Trump is making these announcements. And then, by the way, as soon as he made the announcement about, oh, by the way, Panama, you put you on notice, your Chinese influences, yada, yada. He announced also he appointed a guy named Kevin Marino Cabrera to serve as the U.S. ambassador to the Republic of Panama. And this is a guy who he says has very much been a part of his campaign, very influential in terms of international trade and been a Miami-Dade County Commissioner. So we have a new MAGA-oriented ambassador to Panama. But the Panamanians are saying, hey, slow your roll there, buddy. So Panama's leader shot back. CBS has an article on this. Panama's leader shot back in a recent statement saying the waterway is not for sale. Since then, Trump has posted repeatedly about the canal. And the article goes on to talk about, you know, when Teddy Roosevelt built it. But then it points out that there were people, even in Panama, who were irritated that the United States had gained treaty rights to run the canal. And we did. We preserved it. We guarded it. We built it. And then we ran it for the better part of a century. And the Panamanians who still even questioned the validity of it. Was it heavy-handed? Probably. Could they have done it on their own? No. Did anybody else have the wherewithal to run that thing? And then Jimmy Carter came along. Oh, boy. Jimmy Carter, 1977, he decided he would go back to negotiations with the nation of Panama because, you know, that just made good sense. Listen, when I was down there, so Carter signed the papers in 1977 giving the Panama Canal Zone back to the Panamanians. When he did that, he didn't just do it. We literally had to go in there, and the United States spent a huge amount of money plussing up every building, paving every parking lot, and I'm not kidding when I say changing every light bulb. We had to make sure there was not a single cracked window in a building that we left behind. Before we even left, they were already raiding the buildings. It's just ridiculous. I mean, who does that? Here, we're going to build it back better and then leave it. But we have seen an amazing amount of U.S. effort into that canal, and it depends on it. When we come back, I'll tell you about something most recently. I guess the Panamanians were kind of taking advantage of people needing use of the canal, auctioning off slots to pass them. Come on, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two on a Friday afternoon. Text lines are open. You want to text it or call it, you can do both with the same number, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I look forward to seeing, too, by the way, what happens when the text lines reach Chattanooga. How's it going to go?
Yeah, I hope we got some avid texters into Chattanooga.
I know it, man.
To get involved.
What's the area code in Chattanooga? Do you know?
I actually don't even know. I'd have to look that up.
Look that up. So we'll start seeing them streaming into our text lines. But yeah, text it or call it, 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. You got
it's a 423.
It's a 423 area mm-hmm. code. That's right. I think it's the same. No, it wouldn't be the same for Knoxville. It couldn't be. But anyway, yep. Okay. Look forward to it.
I look forward to them watching on the stream as
well.
You know
what else is cool is that station that we're going to be on out of Chattanooga also covers a big swath of northwest Georgia and mm-hmm. parts of northeast Alabama that we don't already reach. So, yeah.
That's a pretty cool lineup we're on, too, of Bongino and I think Shapiro will still be on there, or maybe not. But anyways, good lineup we're joining up there in Chattanooga.
Good lineup. Looking forward to it. All right, back on the Panama Canal. So here's something else for you to think about. It's not just what the Panama Canal does to our economy. If we lose control of it, if we have no access to it, for that matter. But the Panama Canal is also considered like actually crucial to our ability to do force projection with our U.S. Navy. The Navy treats the Panama Canal regularly. And the U.S. Navy, I mean, so first of all, we're the number one user of the canal, number one in the world. That's us. We built it. We ran it for almost a century, and we're the number one user of it still to this day. But the U.S. Navy trans back and forth to get our ships from the Atlantic to the Pacific and back and forth. Jimmy Carter gave it away for a dollar. A dollar. Like, what? Why was this okay? And by the way, it was never given away with the intent that, oh, by the way, once you get the Panama Canal, you get to start charging us for the usage of it. And so suddenly we find ourselves, the U.S., our Navy, our corporations are now being charged exorbitant prices just to go passage through the straits. And it's often considered to be unfair. And I've got an article here. I mean, that was from Town Hall. And now I've got an article right here from a Maritime Executive Magazine. Maritime Executive Magazine. So this came out in November of last year, November 2023. Now, remember, we had supply chain disruptions. Things were happening. They were also going through a drought for a period of time, and it was impacting the ability of the Panamanians to see water levels at the usual rates up and through the canal. But they began taking advantage of it. They began auctioning off the rights. They had somewhere in the neighborhood of 109 ships backlogged at one point trying to get through the canal. You can only get a certain amount through per day. They began to cut the number of slots down to, it was getting down to 25 ships a day could go through. Then they got it down to 18 by February of this year. And then they began auctioning off. And believe it or not, one company actually paid $4 million to be given immediate access to passage through the canal. So suddenly they've got not just a cash cow that people have to have. Now they got, hey, we got a bidding war. Well, how much do you want to pay? 2.5? Buddy over here is paying 2.75. 2.75, do I hear 3? Do I hear 3? And it went up $4 million to get through. Now, that's unconscionable. That's basically the world transit being held hostage. Suddenly we went from having a canal that we built and maintain, and I understand there's operational costs, but we built it. We had people that died building it. We helped Panama's, you know, become a sovereign nation to build it. And then at the same time, we're now paying millions of dollars for our ships to get through it. And it's exorbitant. I mean, typical auction prices were usually below $1 million. That one went for $4 million. They had some going for 2.6. They had some going for 2.85. Meanwhile, you look at it and go, so China is there? Yeah, China's there. So if you haven't heard of China's Belt and Road Initiative, China's Belt and Road is their version of buying influence around the world. It's just the name they give to it. The Belt and Road Initiative is their way of saying, hey, how do you feel about, their small nation with not many resources? If we come in and look, we'll put in a port. Hey, how would you like for us to put in some rail infrastructure? Would you like for somebody to build that tunnel for you? We can do that. It'll cost. You know, we're going to need a little influence, if you know what I'm saying. Next thing you know, they've crept in and they've been, you know, everybody's beholden to them. Well, Panama's no different. June 2016, Panama inaugurated an expansion of the canal. See, they did. They put like $5.25 billion in it through the Panama Canal Authority to expand the canal's opportunity or capabilities. 1 year later, June of 2017, the Panamanian government decided to establish diplomatic relations with China. Okay. Suddenly you have a new flow of Chinese investments into the canal zone. A lot. So the People's Republic of China made all kinds of efforts around the world, and China being, you know, what it is, it's an Asian giant. They want influence in Panama. Well, they got it. So they are now the second largest user of the canal zone after the United States. They are the largest provider of commerce on the Caribbean coast of Panama. They have roughly 135,000 Chinese nationals now living in Panama. Why would that be? They also announced the construction of a new container port near Cologne, which will have facilities for receiving liquefied natural gas. They also plan construction to go exceed $900 million. The construction also is going to result in the first container terminal designed to handle the new Panamax ships that are going back and forth. And then on top of that, they've expressed interest in, you know, helping build some railway infrastructure connecting the capital of Panama and the province of Chiriquí, which is like 400 kilometers long. And then, oh, by the way, hey, you know, hey, it looks like Panama's got the most important air hub in Latin America now because they have a direct flight back and forth to China. Really? Yep, twice a week. So suddenly you have massive Chinese influence, and people wonder why Trump is sending out mean tweets. I'm just telling you. If China's influence continues to cost American shipping, which includes the American Navy, the ability for right of passage from the Pacific to the Atlantic and back and forth, then don't think for a second that we're going to sit idly by and just let that be. Not for a second.
Well, I mean, since I'm sitting with a lawyer here, I've seen some people argue that Panama's not living up to their end of the deal in the first place because they were supposed to be neutral. Yeah. Could there be an argument made that the treaty is no longer valid because Panama did not uphold their end of the deal? Obviously, even if that were to be argued, it would be hard to be enforced. But still, do you think there's any right, like any sort of grounds for that argument to be made?
Oh, there's absolutely grounds for it, and I think what you'll wind up having, this is where you get into. You can go legal or you can go diplomatic, and the diplomatic route is going to. That's a great question, by the way. And so the diplomatic route is going to weigh heavy on that. They're going to bring that up, and they're going to claim, you know, international legal rights that are being denied, and or being suppressed, or putting a chilling effect upon, you know, commerce. And then they're also going to talk about what it does to national security. And when you start leaning on foreign nations and say, what you're doing is hurting our national security, it's like a wink, wink, nod, nod. Things could get ugly for you if you don't back off. I really think you're going to see less of a legal fight, more of a diplomatic fight. But that being said, you leave it all on the table. You know, it's like I've talked about multiple times. That's what I don't think that the Biden administration understands. You don't go in with one of the pieces of force projection. You go with all of them. And that's where that DIME acronym comes in, we talked about before. DIME stands for diplomacy, information or intelligence, military and economic. You bring all of it. And that's why Trump says, I'll put tariffs on you. Don't make me come down there, you. And oh, by the way, you're going to talk to my new ambassador who's very MAGA oriented. In other words, we're going to be America first.
But that's too mean. We don't want to be mean to people.
It's harsh.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people can elect a man like that who's going to put America first. I don't understand it at all. But yeah, you're right, though. There was a determined effort towards Panamanian neutrality. And that's one of the reasons why we're calling out the whole China influence thing. China's neutral when it comes to us. China has an inferiority complex. China wants to be where we are. China can't quite get there because socialism will never be able to outpace capitalism. At the same time, though, China's willing to do by hook and by crook what it takes to get the Belt and Road Initiative into place so that the countries that they're in will now be beholden to them. And the only way to, by the way, sometimes that comes with actual debt. China holds a lot of debt for a lot of nations, and they know it. And those nations don't want them to call that marker. Well, if you build them a railway, Panama, if you build them a new port, Panama, if you become one of their economic resources they have to have, Panama, the next thing you know, Panama's not willing to make China mad. So Trump is pointing out that, okay, you don't want to make China mad? Guess what? You just made us mad.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bigger than they are, and you're in our backyard.
It seems like we got a lot of ground to work with there.
And I do think it's still in Panamanian minds that when it really got ugly, we did send the 82nd Airborne. I don't think that'll happen here. I really don't. But I don't think that we should ever underestimate what a vital national interest this canal zone is.
Oh, like I can't even fathom the amount of money America's lost from that deal that Carter made. I mean, I don't think anybody could put a number on that.
Oh, everybody looked at it and went, we're doing what?
Mm-hmm. For a dollar?
For a dollar. And you get how much and how much money we put into it to get it ready for you to take it for a dollar and then charge us for the use of the canal that we built? That's awesome. You said you had a quote on YouTube or a comment on YouTube or something.
What's yeah, somebody commented on the Rumble. The first one is from, so this guy's, or this girl, is BarbMCM99. First, they said, if the USA built it, then why give it away? But then the second comment said, Alberta would love to become the 51st state. So I don't know. I don't know if this person lives
going
in Alberta.
To Canada again.
Yeah. So yeah, those are two comments on Rumble.
Yeah. So if we built it, why give it away? Great question. Go ask Jimmy Carter if he can remember why. But there was a I think I said earlier in the show, there was a long-standing dispute by people who believed that the heavy hand of the United States had forced the issue back 100 years ago. And they were disputing the ability of the United States to run something that is inside their sovereign territory. But yet we built it. I mean, you can go ask Cuba right now, why do we have Guantanamo Bay? Cuba's not our friend. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because in a period of great influence, we said, you know what? We like Guantanamo Bay. We think we'll use that for a while. Here's a legal document you're going to sign. And we have it to this day. We have Gitmo. Well, the Panama Canal Zone was no different, except that this was not taken like in the Spanish-American War, we got Guantanamo Bay. This was not taken this way. This was, hey, we'll help you guys. Let us build it. But we run it. And they're like, okay. It was still an economic driver for their economy. And now here we are for the use of it.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Brian from Huntsville just texted in. He says, actually, he texted twice. He says, Panama statement, psst, here, kid, you want some free candy? Yeah, no kidding. If you like it next time, it'll cost you. Ugh. Then he says, simple, every U.S. ship dump out a few tons of cement from hidden cargo holds. I don't think we want to do that. All right, listen. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from this break. We will jump on in and wrap this topic up. And then coming up at 3:30, the ladies of Saving Title IX are going to be in studio with us. Y'all, I'm telling you, Saving Title IX, this is one of the cultural fights of our lifetime. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.